Well, if we do a good job,
mm-hmm.
if we do a good job of raising this generation of kids, then society becomes a better place.
Yeah.
And then our job gets better. Our job gets easier. Not easy, but easier. If we do a good job. And that's kind of our mantra. Everything we do is from the mindset of making kids successful. Because if they're successful, then society gets better. And if mm-hmm. society gets better, the world gets better.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Jonathan Eggerman. Jonathan is the deputy superintendent at Pine Tree ISD in Longview, Texas. And Jonathan is gracious because I had to reschedule on him. So, Jonathan, thank you for being here and for being willing to accept my need to change.
Thank you for having us today. I'm excited to be here and to visit with you.
So tell us, we talked a little bit before we went live about the amazing transformations and changes that have gone on in Pine Tree. So tell us about that. Tell us the history of it and tell us about what's happening now.
So Pine Tree ISD is the west side of Longview, Texas. We're about 22 square miles as a school district. We're very small. And in the 80s and 90s, it was kind of a bedroom community for Longview and really East Texas. And it was a school that was predominantly upper middle class white kids. You know, in 2000, you know, we were about 75% white, and we were about 30% eco-dis, low eco-dis. You know, you fast forward to 2010, 2012, you're looking at about just a massive change to where we're about 30% white and we're about 70% eco-dis. So you just have this massive switch in demographics. And part of that was properties getting older. When you're small and kind of locked in by other school districts, a lot of, duplexes and apartments were built. Well, those were nice when they were new, but as they age, you know, mm-hmm. the demographic that rents those properties change. Katrina had a piece to it. Immigration has had a piece to it. Just the change in what the population in Texas has had a change to it. So now we're, you know, right now this year, we're about 4,500 students. We're about 42% Hispanic. We're about 36%. White. We're about 25-28% African American. We're on paper, we're about 72% eco dis. We're probably closer to 75 plus would be my guess.
Wow. Yeah.
So, you know, we just had this huge shift. And so in 2017, it was kind of a broken school. You know, we had a lot of discipline issues. Our performance was no longer on any metric, whether we're talking about the STAR test or whatever metric you want to use, it wasn't where we were. And it was kind of living off of what it used to be.
Mm.
In 2017, Steve Cluxton took the superintendent role and, you know, really, I think what had happened is the people who were here were great people, but the battle had changed and they realized that the battle had changed. So they were still fighting the old battles of curriculum and instruction and all those things are important things, but it wasn't the battle that was important at that time. And Mr. Cluxton got here and his big thing was discipline. And he brought a new idea of, you know, we're going to hold kids accountable, to the standards that we set. And there's not going to be reasons why that's not upheld, you know, and that really changed very, very quickly. And one of our mantras, you know, was hard work and respect. And that's one of the things that we demanded of our kids from the very beginning. And, you know, so now we're 8 years into the process, you know, while everybody else's attendance has dropped since COVID, you know, the state average has dropped from around 95 to around 91. Ours has gone up. It's not gone up a lot, but we're averaging about 96% attendance. State test scores, right? Like that's always a measure. You know, we've gone from the bottom 25 percentile to the top 20 percentile. We have about, whether you want to talk about passing the test, which is about 80% of our kids are passing the test, or we don't talk about proficiency, which means scoring meets and masters. We're about 3/4 to, you know, on that, you know, so we're having a lot of success, and it's a lot just focusing on the things that a lot of kids learned, myself included. I learned this at home. You know, I learned this at church. I learned this at Sunday school. I learned this playing Little League baseball. You know, this idea that you, no matter where you went, the same rules applied. You know, when I went to a friend's house, you know, if I didn't follow their rules, I didn't get to go to my friend's house. And so, like, I think we've kind of brought back a lot of those things that we all learned as kids, and we're really helping our parents parent their kids and teach them that, you know, the rules apply. And I have to keep, you know, today I'm keeping you, I'm following your rules, but when I step into this realm, I have to follow their rules. And
right.
And so I think that's one of the things that we focus really big on, and that's helped us really make huge changes in the future of our kids here.
Yeah, the expectations that you set for those kids are the expectations that you'll get back, right?
Yes.
And that it sounds like that didn't happen. Well, and I don't think it's blame. I don't think there's a point in playing a blame game, but recognizing that there was that change and dealing with it is critical to those kids' outcome, right? To how they move forward after graduation, right?
Yeah. And one of the things we always say is, you know, there's a lot of people that want to complain about how wide the window of opportunity is open, you know, and we can understand that. Like there are definitely some downfalls to how society works, right?
Yeah.
But
sure.
Really for us, instead of complaining about that, like our goal is to give every kid the skills they need to get through the window. I mean, if I'm 7 foot tall and athletic, that window's wide open. I can trip over my shoes and somebody will keep that window open for me.
Right.
You know, if I score a 1400 on the SAT, somebody will keep that open. But like the truth is, instead of complaining about that, we're just giving our kids all the skills they need to get through that window. And then once they get through that window, then it's their job to write their story. But we're going to get through that window because the truth is, you know, all of our outcomes, like one of the things that we do, we set outcomes that we want our students to do, and none of them are academic. It's things like work hard. It's things like get along with others. It's not quit when it gets hard. Be able to follow rules. Like those things, because here's the truth. Like with my teachers, if my kids will do those things, my teachers are happy with them. They can teach them to read. They can teach them to do math. When you leave here and you go work for somebody, if you'll show up and you'll work hard and you'll follow rules, and they're going to be happy with you. Very few people get fired because they can't read on a grade level. Mm-hmm. They get fired because they won't show up at work, or they won't get off the phone, or they're untrustworthy. So that's our thing. We're going to teach our kids the things that they need to be successful in the successful world. And then that's going to, if they're doing that for us, they're going to get the academic, they're going to get the other pieces that they need in order to be successful. And then we teach them what can be had if you will do those things.
Yeah. What if every student could work with a therapist who brings not just credentials, but years of experience and wisdom to the table? At Lighthouse Therapy, most of our therapists have over 16 years of real world experience. We don't just fill seats. Instead, we find therapists who've seen it all and know how to help. And every new therapist is paired with a mentor to help them guide them every step of the way. Whether through virtual, hybrid, or in-person delivery, your students are getting services that's thoughtful, experienced, and genuinely human. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn more. Now, let's get your ducks in a row so that you can get through that window, right?
Yeah.
I talked to a lady the other day who similar, her school was primarily Hispanic and Black, and they were talking about equity and you know, having that conversation. And she's like, not everybody believes in equity now. You know, it's a dirty word now. And it's like, no, it's not. It's just a matter of how you look at things and giving your students the opportunities. And that's what you're doing. And whether you call it equity or you call it what, pick a word, I don't care. But, you know, giving those kids the tools to be able to be successful and giving them the opportunity to be successful, because that's what they need. And they need those skills. I don't care who you are, Black, white, Hispanic, Chinese, whatever. You need those abilities, to those executive function skills and those those choices, the ability to make those choices. And if you don't teach them how to do that and it's not being taught at home, then where do they get it from?
Yeah, because the truth is, that's one of the great things about America is if you can help somebody else be successful, they'll hire you. There's a job for you. Somebody's going to give you an opportunity if you can do those things and help them be successful. That's just the bottom line. And that's what's great about America.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is opportunity and there are ways to, but you have to fight for it.
It's not easy. And that's one of the things I think that, you know, I've been in this long enough that I remember the change the education went through when we kind of started to have to parent our kids and parent our parents. You know, I remember right before COVID when we're having these conversations, and I remember myself included probably being one of those teachers that said, well, it's not my job to teach them that. It's my job to teach them X. It's my, you know, I was a teacher, right? It's my job to teach them the Constitution. It's my job to teach them. But the truth is, what happened is there was a whole bunch of kids that end up not getting parented.
Right.
And we're deep enough in now that we have a lot of kids right now whose parents weren't parented because we chose not to because it wasn't our job, and their parents chose not to because nobody makes them. And so now we've kind of stepped away from that. And the idea is, you know, we do a lot in order to try to build, to be the functional family that a lot of these kids don't have. And the idea being we want to do that for the kid, but we also want to do that for the parent. If we can teach our parents how to be functional members of society and functional families, that's one of the things that we feel like we've done that has helped us make this transition. We're every district, every job probably will tell you, oh, we're like family. Oh, we're like family. But we really are. We meet with every single person we hire. We hire about 50 certified teachers every year. Our principals, they're the ones that recommend them to us, but we sit down with them and we visit for about an hour, hour and a half, because we realize we don't do things like a lot of other places.
Mm.
We work real, real hard. We love real, real hard. We have a lot of fun, but we work hard.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell them all that we will be the functional family that a lot of these kids don't have. We function like that. Like families of old, we sit down and we eat dinner together. I mean, there's five times a year that Mr. Clutch and I cook for all 750 of our employees. Every year at spring break, the Saturday before spring break starts, he sends out an email to all 750 employees. Hey, we're cooking crawfish in the backyard. Feel free to come by, you know, most years we have about 200, 250 people show up.
Nice.
You know, and it will be everywhere from bus drivers and custodians to principals and executive directors will show up and bring their families with them. And mm-hmm. So we do all that because we truly are that functional family. And truthfully, we're the functional family a lot of our employees don't have. Mm-hmm. So that's allowed us to bring in amazing people. We have people who we're competitive in pay, but there are bigger districts around us that pay more than us. And we have people every year who will take a $10,000 or $15,000 pay cut to come work for us because we've built that atmosphere and it's safe here and they can teach knowing that we're going to take care of discipline. And we're going to be the functional family that our kids need and a lot of our people need.
Wow, that's fantastic. You were telling me when this first started that you had, give me that statistic that you had before about how many brand new teachers you had and how many you had this year, because that was impressive as well.
So in 2017, 25% of our certified teachers were year zero teachers, which means they had no years of experience in education. This last year, we hired six, which puts us about 2%. So we've gone 25% to 2% over the time. We're able to, when we have openings, which we're big enough that we're going to have openings every year. Yeah. They're just people moving up into an administration role or, you know, relocating to a different part of Texas or America. We're able to now hire, teachers with 10, 15 25 years of experience to come in and then really, and that makes our instruction better. When you have teachers who are proven and have a lot of experience, you know, that makes instruction better. It makes classroom management better. It just improves everything. And so, you know, we tell everybody, you know, we've recruited our way to amazing test scores because we've built a place where people want to come and work.
Right. Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, it makes a difference when you have people that care. Not that, please don't, new teachers, please don't hear us saying that you are not doing your job, because that is not the truth. It's just you're going to get there. Just like us, you're going to get there.
Like I did when I got in, and just like I did when I moved into administration, you need support. I mean, teaching is hard. It's a hard job.
It's a hard job.
And when you have so many, it's hard to support them.
Right.
You know, I mean, you can try to put things in and mentors and stuff, but when you have such a large number of new teachers, then they can't get the support that they need. That's why in a lot of big districts, we're bleeding new teachers. We can't keep them for more than 3 years because they can't get the support they need to get their feet under them and be successful. Yeah, it's not about their ability. It's about what they don't know that they don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things we've done is we have, like a lot of people, we call it Anchor Academy because everything's pirate related. And that's really our first and second and third year teachers. And we bring them in, but we kind of give them some things, you know, whether it be classroom management but we also have a leadership council. And that's our seasoned teachers. Those are the people who have impact and they have sway on their campuses. And we bring them in and really, we kind of preach our what we believe to them, because we know then therefore that it recreates itself out on the campuses. But then we create a relationship. Every Anchor Academy person has somebody on our leadership council, and that's their person. And you know, we meet with them 4 times a year here at our central office, and then we just open up our offices. And it's fun. You'll walk around, and sometimes it will be a conversation about getting this kid to read or getting this kid. But a lot of times it's conversations about home life. It's conversations about work-life balance. It's where, you know, because like it's all those things. Yes, they need help on classroom management. Yes, they need to know how to, you know, work through their curriculum. But a lot of our young teachers need simply to have somebody they can ask, how do I make copies? And how do you do this when it's a 4-day week and you got to get the same amount of stuff covered? I mean, there's questions like that if you don't have somebody to lean on, it's extremely, extremely hard. And for us, and you know, when you have such a large number, it's just, you can't support them. And that's what, you know, we have some people every year who will work for us, and after a couple of years, maybe they go somewhere else, and we're okay with that as long as we're not losing them out of a district. We are out of education.
You can change jobs, just please don't leave education. Right? Yeah.
Education. We need you. Our kids need you. Mm-hmm. So that's one of our big things is we want to support our teachers so that we're not losing them out of education, because I know a lot of people in Austin have forgotten, but this is a really, really hard job, and it's a really, really important job.
Right.
And so losing them out of education is something that we don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh my goodness. So, so now that you've gotten that the test scores are getting better, that you guys are doing it, what would you say is your biggest challenge today then?
Well, you know, our thing is, you know, when Mr. Closten came back, his motto was bringing Pine Tree back. Like the whole goal was to make Pine Tree the jewel of East Texas, like it had been. And I feel like we're getting close to that. Our goal is to prove that public education can. When you look at our demographics, when you drive through some of our neighborhoods and stuff, we have the kind of clientele and the kind of community that people don't think you can do amazing things with. And one of the things we're super proud of is in 2018, in academic UIL, we finished fifth place. we had less than 300 points as a high school. Last year we won our district by 437 points. We sent 53 kids to regionals, and we ended up sending 22 to state. We don't just want to win on star scores. Our football team last year won 10 games for the first time since 1973, and only the second time in school history.
Congratulations to them. That's awesome.
Yeah. Last year, our football team went to state playoffs. Our girls and boys basketball teams went to the state playoffs. Both of our girls and boys soccer teams went to the state playoffs. We had our band qualified for regionals. Our choir qualified for state. Our UIL was district champs and regional runner up. I mean,
what's like, UIL? Tell me what UIL is.
So UIL is the University Interscholastic League. So it UIL, when most people hear UIL, they think only athletics, because it is in charge of all things athletics. But actually, there's a whole other side of UIL, which is academics. So it's competitions that start all the way down in elementary and go all the way to high school. So it there's subject matters. So like there's math, science, there's biology. My son is on the journalism team. There's just tons of different one act play falls under that. There's just tons of different academic avenues that all compete as together as a team to kind of, kind of like quiz bowl, but not.
Yeah.
So like that's a huge deal for us. Like we want to win academic UIL with kids that you don't think should win academic UIL.
Society says should, not you guys, what society says, right?
Yeah.
So you guys are winning not only on the traditional sports side, you guys are winning in academics as well. That is really, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I mean, last year's valedictorian went to Rice, the valedictorian before them went to Notre Dame. We want to continue to improve so that when the media or whoever starts talking about what public schools can do or what this demographic can do or what this demographic can do, we can say, no, that's not true. Look at our kids.
Look what we're doing. So yeah.
Our big goal right now is we want to be the place to be, whether that means academic UIL, whether that means athletics. We have a CTE program that has 15 different avenues, and we asked those CTE instructors to run it like a program. My construction program, for example, they start doing build offs twice a year. They go to Dallas, they get a set of blueprints, they have to have a safety officer, and they build over 2 days, they build a building, and then they're judged on it. We want every avenue of our kids to be successful. We want to compete in everything so that our kids understand what it takes to be successful. And that goes back to that conversation about getting through that window opportunity. So it doesn't matter if you're in accounting, or it doesn't matter if you're in welding. It doesn't matter if you got an 800 on the SAT or a 1400 on the SAT. It doesn't matter if you're an athlete or you're in fine arts. We want to win, and that starts all the way down to elementary. UIL competitions at the elementary, and one of my campuses have won for 7 years in a row now, because we want them to get a taste of that at the very, very beginning of what success feels like and why you continue to do the hard work that it takes.
Yeah. And CTE is career
technical education.
That's what I thought. I wanted to make sure that, yes.
Yeah.
We love our acronyms, don't we? We love our acronyms. We do. Yeah. And I just want to make sure, because it's different. Every state's different, and we have a national audience. So I want to make sure everybody's clear on, because I don't always know. You know, I live in Texas. I should know more than I do, probably. But I know a lot of them, but I always try to make sure people, like, because we just get going and we talk about, and I knew you were talking about career and technical, but I'm like, I want to make sure that that everybody got that. So there you go. So that's fantastic. I'm so impressed with what you guys are doing. And more than anything, the kids are going to win because of what you guys are doing. And that matters more than anything.
So. Well, if we do a good job, If we do a good job of raising this generation of kids, then society becomes a better place.
And then
our job gets better. Our job gets easier, not easy, but easier if we do a good job. And that's kind of our mantra. We do, everything we do is from the mindset of making kids successful, because if they're successful, then society gets better. And if society gets better, then the world gets better.
Yeah. Amen to that for sure. Absolutely. So Jonathan, where do people go to find Pine Tree and you?
So we have a website, Pine Tree, it's ptisd.org. You can see we have a lot of videos and stuff on there to where you can see a lot of the things that our kids are doing and just see the marvelous things that are going. And I think that's the great thing that we do, is because that's our showcase, because we want everybody to see our smiling faces and the wonderful successes that we're having. And you can always reach out to me at Pine Tree ISD, at jeggerman at ptisd.org. We'd love to share the things we're doing and see if it would help you as well.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's been a great conversation. I love what you guys are doing. I love the fact that kids are winning. That's, you know, we're brighter together, right? We're brighter together because we're brighter together, right? So thank you again, Jonathan, for being on the podcast, for taking the time and being so gracious with your time for me as well.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.